near future, I'm ready to be a force for transformation, creating value for humanity. But I can't do it myself, right? But it will do all I can to affect others so that they can be a force for change and thrive forever, so that they can affect others who can become a force for change and thrive forever, and so on and so on and so on.
This is Dear Future, I'm Ready, a podcast brought to you from Amsterdam by Digital Society School and Transformational Studio. Your hosts for today are Carola Vashore and Marco van Hout. Together, they bring new questions for topics that are still largely unanswered, engaging with thought leaders on transformational topics that open up the conversation and the exploration of what's next as we navigate the 21st century, so that we can all say, Dear Future, I'm ready.
Joe Pyne is an internationally acclaimed author, speaker, and management advisor. He is the co-founder of US-based Strategic Horizons, the home of the experience economy, where he and his team help executives see the world differently. Joe's many books include Mass Customization, Authenticity, Infinite Possibility, and of course the classic, The Experience Economy, competing for customer time, attention, and money. Joe, it's such a pleasure to have you here. Welcome to our show.
Well, thank you, Carl. I really appreciate that and that very nice introduction.
Hi, Joe. This is Marco. Hey, as you know, 21 for 21 is a podcast about transformation, and this is happening right now, and it is complex. And this is why we are talking to 21 transformational leaders like yourself, people who are ahead of the curve, to whom we can ask what the view is like from their perspective to inspire us in this transformational journey.
Which is why today we talk with Joe Pyne about experience and transformation. So Joe, we're in a context in which everything seems to be transforming. And speaking about being ahead of the curve, you've already warned us quite some time ago that we would move from the experience economy into the transformation economy. And we are hoping that you can bring clarity to all of what is happening in our context. What's your take on what's going on?
Well, it's been an amazing year, right? It's been an amazing year of what's happening. And there have been a lot of discussions, some articles and newspapers and so forth about the death of the experience economy because of COVID-19. But in fact, of course, it's not. We're human beings. We crave experiences. We crave social situations and being around other people. So just over the past year, now, opening up here, particularly in the U.S. and other places, we just moved from out there to in here, from social and communal experiences to more private familial experiences, and from physical experiences to digital experiences. But we still want those experiences. And so, as things open up, we'll continue to see a huge amount of pent-up demand, in fact, for getting out again, for being able to have social and meaningful experiences out there in the real world.
Wow, I'm looking forward to that already.
Definitely.
As our listeners know, I'm a Latin American, and for me, the world has been experiential from the moment I took my first breath. So, and I think it applies to many of us, and it's quite fascinating because as a creative, I think if all of us are now individually experiencing things, the moment that we can connect to one another and share those experiences will be fabulous in terms of what we can co-create, what we can rediscover, not only through our own experiences, but through the experiences of others that are going to give us new perspectives, which brings us, of course, to the topic of transformation. Do you have a definition for transformation?
Well, yeah. I mean, transformation is any change in a person, in a community, and an organization, a business, right? In either degree or kind. Right. Transformations, are in fact, and then this may be different than every other transformation leader you're talking to, but it's important to understand that transformations are in fact a distinct economic offering, as distinct from experiences, as experiences are from services, services from goods, and goods from commodities. Transformations are when an individual or a business hires a company basically to achieve its aspirations through a set of transformative experiences, right, to guide them along a path to from where they were to what they want to be.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that has a social component as well, in the sense that we need one another's perspectives, because you can't push your own envelope, right? So you can't just go to the edge of whatever it is you're doing and figure it out all by yourself. That's, well, first of all, that there's no experience in that, because you can't ask the questions you didn't know you had. And on the other hand, it's really a collaborative endeavor, isn't it?
Well, I'll say there are some transformations that can be very, very individual. You know, I'm thinking about my golf game, for example, that I'm trying desperately to improve. And it's me with my instructor, my coach, right? And all coaches are in the transformation business, and me practicing and working on my swing. But in large measure, yeah, I mean, you certainly can't change it in a vacuum. What I spend on my golf game, you know, takes away from other experiences I might be having with my wife, with my extended family, and so forth. So then many transformations, you particularly think of businesses, of organizations, of communities, of the world, in fact, are very much how you described that they're social things that have to be handled with, with a community of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think if you look at the social part of transformation, it's also about perception. And I remember that at one point when you talked about experiences, you really referred to authenticity at one point. So people want to be able to see the fake from the phony. And they question the authenticity of that experience. And in the transformation economy, I think we probably will encounter similar threats. So for example, you know, an oil company, does that company really want to transform towards a clean energy provider? Does that vintage clothing app really want to keep people from buying clothes? Or does that Fortune 500 company really want to empower women with their diversity and inclusion program? So my question is, what do you think is needed in order to create meaningful and lasting change? So how can we distinguish the fake from the phony, as you mentioned, in the transformation economy?
Right. Well, you know, there's so much greenwashing, right, which you're alluding to, yeah, with oil companies. Exactly. That there's also so much virtue signaling that we want to signal our virtue rather than be an actual force for transformation. But in our book on authenticity, what we position it as is really is the consumer sensibility for the experience economy, mm-hmm, that every economy had a particular consumer sensibility. You know, just real quickly, with the agrarian economy and commodities, it was availability, getting your products to market. With the industrial economy and goods, it was cost. So you had to control your cost to create that mass market out there. With the service economy, it was quality. That became job one for all sorts of companies. And then with the experience economy, it really is authenticity that as you said, that people no longer want the fake from the phony. They want the real from the genuine. And they seek that across any economic offer, from commodities like organic produce, all the way up to the transformations that they want to have, that they need to be authentic. And I'm coming to the conclusion that with the transformation economy, right, hot on the heels of the experience economy, is that the new consumer sensibility will be meaning. A word you just used in the question, Marco. I know this is meaning that we want to buy from companies. We want to buy offerings and buy them in places that align with the meaning that we seek in our own lives. You know, our own meaningful purpose. Whether we actually have ever thought about what that is, you don't have to think about what it is. You have to know what it is. It's there no matter what. And the question is, does that align with what you're buying? Because if not, you get this sort of cognitive dissonance. And so you're looking for those companies that that match who you are as an individual and what you seek in terms of meaning in your life.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, we've read your books and follow your work. And from my company, Transformational Studio, we regularly research how people create meaning, co-create meaning, and what they attribute meaning to. And what we started seeing as part of the COVID crisis is that at the layer of meaning, people are starting to rise probably above and beyond status. So the things that people attribute meaning to a link to connection, caring for others, caring for oneself, having time for those endeavors that they kept pushing away from themselves, doing things that make the world a better place. So it seems that there's also a very large craving for this perhaps post-materialistic, you could say, view of meaning creation, but that has always been there and that seems to be really irreplaceable to a degree.
Well, you remind me, when you said post-materialistic, you know, my friend James Wallman, who founded the World Experience Organization, he wrote a book called Stuffication, where he juxtaposes against materialism experientialism, right? That instead of materialism, it's the experiences that we have that matter. But of course, that becomes another level of status. I mean, everything does. You cannot get away from status. It's a human characteristic, yes, a fault largely, but nonetheless, it's there. So that's interesting. So with transformations, then you go from materialism to experientialism to transformationalism, I suppose, would be the right term that is happening. Although, of course, it's always a slow shift and a slower shift than you think it will be.
Yes, it is. but at the same time, in Marco's question, of course, next to meaning was the aspect of things that last. Yeah. And recently, a friend of mine who turned 50, she said, you know, I have too much stuff. And she said, can you please give me experiences as a present? And she actually, it took her more than a year to unpack her presents, because they were experiences. So, she and I went on a course that she really wanted to follow. Someone else, they went to learn to bake bread. They went on a small weekend away. So it took her a whole year. And so there's also this lasting thing in that experience, and especially when they are transformative, take more savoring, take more time to consume. And therefore, you're not only experiencing, but you're also building memories, you're building awareness. And that's where the transformative power, of course, lies. Mm-hmm. And this links also to something that we like to say a lot together with Marco, that is, if you can dream it, you can do it. So it starts also with a vision, and a vision on what are really the fundamental things that we need to take on board when we start in the process of transformation. So what is your vision on that? If you were to imagine a world that is better, kinder, more sustainable, more meaningful, of course, how would you describe that possible future?
Well, yeah, I'm always an optimist. And so I think, you know, the future is like our world, you know, only with the tools to make it a bit better every day. And frankly, our biggest problem is that too many of us have forgotten God and, you know, worship false idols in our lives and in our businesses. And one of the things you related to that we added in the new book, the re-release of the Experience Guide that came out last year, is a time model. And I think it's one of those tools that we need to understand that you know, the most precious resource on the planet is the time of individual human beings. Right. And Carola, you just talked about with your friend, it's spending time. Mm-hmm. And too often what companies do is they waste people's time. You think about the call centers you call to try and get you off the phone before you ever actually talk to somebody and don't always resolve your problems. You're waiting in lines to get things done and so forth. Right. We got to stop wasting people's time so they can use that time. And then also, you know, what services are all about is time well saved. That what we want is we want it to be a nice, easy, convenient interaction. We want to get in and out as quickly as possible. But experiences are about time well saved. That's people actually value the time that they spend. And that's what you're talking about with your friend's gifts, right? That took more than a year to open. I like how you said that. But transformations are about time well invested. Yeah. That we're actually investing our time with the transformative experiences that we have that give us compound interest and pay dividends now and into the future, right? So your friend, you know, takes a baking class, and guess what? She becomes a baker, right? At least in terms of knowing how to bake bread and so forth. And that's a tool that businesses need to understand. And again, as a a core business guy, right? So you're talking to a guy that talks to businesses, right? That's what I care about, and helping them do better. And the core thing business needs in terms of thinking about that vision for the future is a new way of managing that keeps companies from falling into mediocrity and eventually failing. And my colleague, Kim Korn, and I are working on such a way of managing that we call regenerative managing, which should enable companies to thrive forever, right? That's our goal, is how can companies thrive forever by continually meeting the ever-growing needs of humanity. And that's how we create that sustainable, meaningful future, by focusing on those the needs of humanity out there and how we can help make them happen.
Joe, I love how you just mentioned that transformation is about investing time. Yes. But I also want to highlight that transformation at global scale, for example, if you talk about systems change or transformation, time is also of the essence. So with experiences and individual transformation, we choose our time. But if time is of the essence in terms of global transformation, how do you relate that to then what we need to do in terms of investing that time?
Well, it's global transformation happens because of the transformation of individual human beings. Yeah. And it's the grouping together, the gathering together, the accumulation of those individual transformations that ends up changing the world. Reminded of trying to think of the anthropologist who said this, her name's not coming to me, but she basically said that never doubt the ability of a small group of committed people to change the world, because nice. They're the only ones who ever have.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, and related to that, I also work with business. I'm very fortunate to live in the Netherlands, and in the Netherlands we have a wonderful public sector. Probably one of the best in the world on many levels, but not many countries, and myself coming from the Global South can definitely attest to that, not many countries have that privilege. And that brings a very important role to business, because I really like what you just mentioned, which I think is very 2021 as a statement, that it starts with the individual transformation, then the group transforms, then the organization transforms, then the society transforms, then the world transforms. There's no passing the buck, it's us. And so it's in each one of us to really have the spirited hope and the entrepreneurial attitude to go make a difference. But if you're in a context where you feel that it doesn't matter, whatever it is that you do won't make the difference, then you don't even try to put a dent on the universe. And that's where businesses come in, and particularly businesses of smaller size. So not necessarily sort of your very large corporations, but you see that a lot in the small and medium enterprise, that it's really through businesses that society can improve. And they've gotten really a bad rap, but it really does take, it's the entrepreneurs of this world that create jobs for others, that create new opportunities. And that, to my definition of transformation, I link it to the word itself, which means across systems and structures. So do things in a T-shaped way across the structures, but also to reinvent those systems and structures. And we're at a time in which reinvention, redesign, regeneration are big buzzwords and important words. So business definitely has a role to do that. Do you see a roadmap ahead of you? What are the steps we might take in the next, say, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, as we roll up our sleeves and try and change the world for the better?
Well, first, Carol, I want to reemphasize what you said, because it's so right. It is businesses that are the greatest force of good in the world. And businesses are simply a coming together of people, right? It is people that are the greatest force of good in the world. They're also the greatest force of bad in the world. But you know, what we want to try and do is to come together in good ways. So, in the next couple of years, right? I hope that more and more people understand these two things I've talked about. Really, is one, transformations as its own distinct economic offering. You know, when I first started talking about that 20, 25 years ago, people looked at me like I was sort of crazy, right? It was too far out there for them at the time. And that's not the case anymore. So understand that transformations are a distinct economic offering that we can be that force for good by helping people achieve their aspirations for themselves, as well as for the world, for the communities that they're in, for the organizations, for the businesses that they belong to. And also in the next 2 years that we'll have out a book on regenerative managing that gets people to understand that this is the way forward to go so that businesses can be that change that they want to see in the world. And in 5 years, you hope that there's more of a movement in that direction, that people understand the possibilities and are embracing it. And then in 10 years, there's a concerted change in how thousands of companies, again, small, medium in particular, large will actually take longer to be able to do. And then that with a corresponding and tremendous increase in the value that is being created for humanity, by humanity.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, nice. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's wonderful how it all converges, how it all comes together, because it's companies that are authentic in what they are pursuing. It's consumers really embracing those transformative experiences that they feel are going to bring us in the right direction. So in the end, it really is an effort in which we all come together towards the regeneration and the creation of the new world. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And yeah. That touches our designerly hearts. Marco and I are both designers, as you know.
Experience designers in the past, yeah. Even.
I've been all kinds, actually. Service designer, experience designer. Okay.
Transformation designer now. We're following yes. the economic values of Joe Pine. In
Linking to the design aspect. In design, we like to reframe any challenge that is thrown at us, and they are many. Using a small tool for reframing that is called How Might We? And essentially it asks the question, what is being asked here? So what is it that we're trying to do, right? What is the desired outcome of our design? And that's because as designers, the catch-22 of design is that you always design for someone else and you are not that person. So you can't even pretend that you understand them. You have to start unpacking the challenge. But the thing we find with How Might We is that it's a bit sort of, you know, pushing things away from the responsibility of being one of the agents of the change. So we've reframed it at the Digital Society School into how might I so that we? And the magic of this reframe is that when you link it to yourself for the bigger purpose of the things that we accomplish together, how might I do whatever needs to be done so that we together achieve this end result? Then the steps become concrete, become action-oriented, become very tangible without necessarily being only short-term oriented, but they become more real. And then there's traction and then things start happening. And then obviously the next how might I so that we appears in the horizon. If you were to have a design question, what would be your how might I so that we?
What a tough question, but let me preface by you know, earlier I pointed out when Marco said the word meaning, which is very important to the conversation. Carola, you also just said a word that I think is incredibly important for transformation designers, and that's the word outcome, is that they are about outcomes. That's what a transformation is about. That you know, I always say with transformations, the customer is the product, the individual is the product, is the change in that individual is what it's all about, and that's the outcome. And so I think that how might I so that we, right, it really relates to an outcome that you want to achieve as well. So I guess I'm not sure this is what you're looking for, but I would say, how might I better get across these ideas from the experience economy to regenerative managing, authenticity, all the other related topics I've written about now for over 25 years, right? So how might I better get across these ideas so that we can have better businesses that create ever greater value for humanity?
Wonderful, yeah. And this value, eh? So this relates many times to growth. What is your vision on growth in terms of businesses? And that context.
Right. Well, that gets back to the fact that businesses really ought to have as a fundamental, I'm not sure objective is the right word, more of an axiom, an assumption, a fundamental assumption of thriving forever. And that means, doesn't necessarily mean huge growth in profits or even in revenue, but it means huge growth in the value that you create, right, for customers. And again, for humanity. So I think that, that thriving forever, is, you know, is my vision for growth. Cause then human beings will prosper and we'll be able to solve our problems. We'll be able to meet our challenges again through coming together in businesses and how they affect, how people ask them to affect them in the world.
I've got good news and I've got bad news for you, Joe. So The good news is you've done excellent work with your design question. Actually, you've created a wonderful movement of many like-minded people that heard your rallying call for moving from the experience economy to the transformation economy. You've outdone yourself with thriving forever. It's going to be my new mantra from now on. I love it. How did you manage? I mean, it's in two words, right? So that's the bad news. Now you need to start thinking what comes next. Well, we are all sort of trying to put this into practice and doing our best to keep carrying this forward.
All right, Joe. So we have a wonderful phrase that we use kind of like a slogan for the Digital Side School and for this podcast. Dear future, I'm ready. And we haven't promised our audience any answers. We've said to generate new questions. And new questions, I think you also raised in this conversation. So thank you for that. And we also would love to hear your Dear Future, I'm Ready slogan for you personally. Can you finish the sentence, Dear Future, I'm Ready, by telling us what you feel most ready for in the future?
Well, I guess I would just follow on the exact conversation that we've had and say, dear future, I'm ready to be a force for transformation, creating value for humanity, but I can't do it myself, right? But I will do all I can to affect others so that they can be a force for change and thrive forever, so that they can affect others who can become a force for change and thrive forever, and so on and so on and so on.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marco. It's always a pleasure meeting you and enjoyed our conversation.
Dear future.
Dear future.
Dear future.
Dear future, I'm ready.
This is Dear Future, I'm Ready.
Dear future, I'm ready.
Thank you for listening to Dear Future, I'm Ready. Curious about our next or previous episodes? Please find us on digitalsocietyschool.org or on your favorite podcast or music platform under Dear Future, I'm Ready, and subscribe today. Are you or your team interested in really getting hands-on with the practice of transformation design, sustainability by design, or diversity and inclusion? Check out our professional courses on digitalsocietyschool.org and sign up today for one of our truly transformational learning experiences. For help at an organizational level, check out Transformational Studio, a transformation design agency with the aim of revolutionizing change through design and making transformation irresistible. Check them out at transformation.studio.